Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right. You know, I was listening to this Bill Winston sermon this morning. He said, okay, let's turn in our Bibles. And you know what I heard? The sound of the rustling of pages. I'm like, I kind of miss that. Remember growing up in church, those of you who grew up in church, and the pastor would say, let's turn in our Bibles, and you're... So now we say, let's get the word open, and it's just all the phones come out. And hopefully they're all silenced. Amen? Unless God is calling, and then we want that. Okay, Holy Spirit, we yield to you. We thank you for being the author of the word. You are inerrant. You are the Spirit of truth, given to lead us and guide us into all truth. And so today, I pray that truth, this weapon that we are learning, is the most effective weapon in the universe, because it isn't just a theology. It's the person of Jesus, who is the truth. As we wield the word of the living word, I pray that it would settle deep in us, bring forth fruit, manifest, and bring healing, bring change, bring inspiration, bring purpose, bring all the things that you intend for it to bring, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, I'm grounding you guys right now. Again, sometimes we just shore up the foundation if there's been cracks. In the message of grace, the true message of grace. Not grace as a license to sin, grace as a license to live sloppy lives, grace as a license to make excuses for being a bad witness, grace as an excuse to not be the ambassador that God's called you to be, but grace that's going to make you strong, that's going to make you right, that's going to make you a great surrogate, mentor, spiritual mothers and fathers, big brothers and sisters for this harvest of babies that are coming in. And they're coming in, and some of them will be 60 years old, but they're still an infant in Christ. Some of them will be 80 years old, and they're still an infant in Christ. Babies in the kingdom come in all different ages, sizes, colors, but they need to be discipled. And they need to be taught who they are in Christ. And if you don't know who you are, you're going to tell them who you are based on some error. And they're looking at you as an example. You know, Peter said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we need some people that can be as strong as the Apostle Paul, as strong as Peter, as strong as all of the disciples that were discipled by Jesus, and say, look, I'm following Christ, but follow me as I follow Christ. And you got to be following Christ. A lot of people that are following a version of Christ, but it's not the Christ. Even Jesus himself said in the last days, there will be many that arise and say, I'm the Christ. There's even going to be a false church, I believe, that is going to arise in the end times. And they're going to be so cold, and they're going to be cultural, and they're going to be conceding and yielding to the enemy, forfeiting the truth of God's word. Why? To fit the culture. Yes? And they'll have a version of grace, but if you really know the truth, you'll see that it's tainted. And so, you know, you need to know the truth, and you need to walk in the truth, and you need to be so grateful for the grace of God. But you need to know that grace is not a theology, it is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There is no other Jesus Christ. The one that died, that was buried, and rose again on the third day. The one that is ascended and seated at the right hand of God the Father. The Word of God, the living Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. There is no other. There is no other. And, you know, as this cold cultural church is arising, they're saying that the Word of God is irrelevant, like I said. Let's just get together and let's worship. Let's say the name, but let's not live in accordance with the name. And Jesus said many are going to come in that day and they'll say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? There's people that profess the name of Jesus, but they don't live according to the word. They don't. Their life does not align with the word. And, you know, Jesus is holy. He's holy. And he made you holy. But he didn't make you holy so you can live like a hellion. The Holy Spirit is holy, and he's been given to you to lead you and guide you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit is never going to lead you into anything unholy. He will never oppose himself. He will never oppose Jesus. He will never oppose the Father. Amen? So there is a lifestyle that begins to manifest in a person that understands what true grace is, and they go from glory to glory. They go from strength to strength, right? They don't keep receding back into the old life. Why? Because they realize they've been crucified with Christ. That life was crucified. It was put to death. They appreciate the fact that Christ came to put that to death, and that now they know that sin no longer has dominion over them. Hallelujah. So I've entitled the message today, Because of Grace. And the first thing you need to know that, and this isn't in the outline, those of you in the tower, but it starts with this. Because of grace, you can say because of Jesus, we equate Jesus and grace. The same thing. The Bible says he's full of grace and truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't come say, I am the grace, the truth, the life, and the way. He just said, I'm the truth. We know that truth and grace are married. There is no separation of those two. He was full of one and full of the other, and together they are one person, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Amen? So first thing you need to know is that I am loved. Very simple, I am loved. If you weren't loved, you wouldn't be saved. If you weren't loved, he would have never died on the cross for you. If you weren't loved, he would have never come and sought you and found you and birthed you back into the kingdom of God for his glory for such a time as this. If you didn't know you were loved, you will know before the service ends today. Jesus said in John 15, he said, I am nourished and empowered by the Father's love. He's in me. And I'm going to be in you. You know the Father didn't leave Jesus when he came inside of you? He's with you. The Father's in you. The Son's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. Oh, you got it all. You got the whole package. But Jesus said, I live nourished and empowered by the Father's love. That's how Jesus did all the miracles. If you're not nourished and empowered by the Father's love, I can teach you this whole teaching. You're going to walk out. Your body's going to die. You're going to act crazy by the end of the day. You're going to treat somebody bad. You're going to end up being a bad witness to everybody that sees that you've now become a Christian. It begins there. You've got to know that you are loved with an everlasting love that will never be taken from you. It is unconditional. It is eternal. It never wanes. It doesn't wane because of your neighborhood you were born in. It doesn't wane because of the church you grew up in. It doesn't wane because of your color. It doesn't wane because of your financial status. It doesn't wane because of your mistakes. It doesn't wane. It never wanes. Woo, somebody pulled my cork this morning. I'm telling you, I'm happy. So you can go, if you know you're loved, you can go through anything. If you know you're loved, you won't go looking for some reckless lover to love you that's in essence, going to destroy you. You will wait until you recognize the love that you're nourished and empowered by in the so-called love that's trying to get on you. And you won't partner with anything that doesn't reek of him. Woo-hoo. That'll deliver you, ladies. That'll deliver you, men. Next time some boo says, I love you, but then won't come to church with you. They won't serve God with you. You'll say, no, you don't. You don't love me. You think you do, but you can't love me until you're loved by him. Do you know that you're nourished and empowered by him? I'm not going to be your everything. Never can be. Never will be your everything. Beware. You're my soulmate. You're my twin flame. You're my everything. You tell them I don't need a twin flame. I have one. His name is called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. He's an all-consuming fire. And until I recognize him in you, you can't be my twin anything. Anything. Hallelujah. That wasn't even in my notes. Thank God. You know, I always know we've hit the mark when our snorter snorts. That's awesome. Romans 5:20 says this. But then law came in. Watch this. Law, rules, regulations. All the things that we needed to see so that we could admit our need for a Savior. And watch what it did. It only came to expand and increase the trespass. You're going to decide today whether you're going to serve law and legalism or you're going to serve grace. If you want sin and trespass to increase and expand in your life and to excite opposition, then we can stay legalistic and have all these legalistic rules in us and roots. Watch what it did. Paul says this, the law increases the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. What does the law do? It increases sin and judgment consciousness. It creates an awareness of judgment. How many of you just love being aware of judgment? You know, we've got an inner critic inside our head that doesn't need any help. No help whatsoever. But it says where sin increased, and this is everybody who lived prior to Jesus and accepting Jesus as Savior and accepting what he did on the cross, what was happening? Sin was increasing. I don't want to lead a part of God's church where sin is increasing. I don't want to lead a part of God's church where opposition is excited or incited because of a lack of the truth. I need to lead a part of God's body, his feared, his guard, his army, that is not weighted down with all of that, that knows who they are, who gave them their marching orders, that is walking in strength and knows that God has their back. So where all this is excited and it's incited by the law, watch this, grace, God's unmerited favor, turn to your neighbor and say, you didn't deserve it. Now tell him, I didn't deserve it. But he gave it to me anyways. So we could say Jesus, wherever you see grace, we could say Jesus. Jesus has surpassed it. See, he not only fulfilled, what is the it? It's sin and the law. Jesus surpassed it. And wherever it shows up any time from your birth into the kingdom, which is by faith, receiving favor, receiving grace, not works, anywhere it shows up, I like this, Jesus surpasses it, and he increases the more and superabounds over it. If you didn't shout right there, then your shouter's broke. Come on. Give him praise. Give him praise. So you got to understand, every time that old sin principle shows up because you either don't know the truth or you've believed a lie, Jesus is going to swallow it up And he is going to increase more of his grace, and he's going to overwhelm it, and he's going to superabound it, and he's going to swallow it up if you will let him. Woo. Because of grace. Somebody say, because of grace. God's favor increases more whenever I sin and superabounds it. See, that'll make you a conqueror. You know why he does that? Because you're loved. Well, I thank God. I thank God. Some of you guys don't know my testimony. I don't have time to tell it. The whole world's going to see it one day in a movie. Paul, when he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, I get that. I understand that. I wouldn't be standing clear, clothed, in my right mind, full of the manifold wisdom of God, in my position, doing what God called me to do, without living a sloppy life. Now at 57 years old, as a single woman, leading the body of Christ in how you walk in purity and authority as a widow with a future and an army behind me. It is only by the grace of God. It is only by the grace of God. It is only by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you can take my phone, and you can take my computer, and you can go watch my history in my television. This woman who experiences loneliness isn't surfing the net. I'm not on dating websites. I'm not watching pornography. I'm not looking for booty calls on the weekend. I'm not spending time with people that will destroy my destiny. You know why? Because I'm loved. I'm loved with an everlasting love. And I'm fulfilled. Hallelujah. Because of grace. See, what you think and what you declare manifests. What you think is steering your life toward what you think. If you think about it enough, you'll talk about it enough. If you talk about it enough, you'll decree it and establish it. And once it's established it, you'll walk in it and you'll live in it. God wants you to think right. And so today we're going to declare a lot of things. Because this is not just Pastor Verna's truth. It is the truth for you. Say this, because of grace, Jesus, I am called. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, it is he who has saved us. We know that Jesus is the one who has saved us and called us with I love that. It's not a sloppy calling. It's not a mediocre calling. It's not a worldly calling. He saved us and he called us with a what? A holy calling. Not according to our works. So we know that you're either going to have works or grace. So he called us into a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. And I like this. I like this. See, it's one thing if somebody just one day decides, hey, I'd like to favor you. You got to understand, this plan to have you sitting here today, understanding the favor and the grace you walk in, it didn't start with Pastor Verna telling you. I'm just affirming what God decided before time began. Come on, give God a big shout. See, he was thinking about you before he ever even spoke, let there be light. Before he ever hovered over the deep and the chaos and the dark. And he began to come up with his, or actually follow through with his plan for the earth and for you. He knew you would be sitting in 2021 in a battle that has the potential to take you out. But he knew one day you would sit in front of a preacher that would say, I'm going to unlock who you really are since before time ever began. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And I'm going to turn you into who God said you would be. And I'm going to tell you what God said you would do. He put purpose inside of you. He put destiny inside of you. And there is no one but you that can prevent what God has planned because he gave you will. Whew. This might take 2 weeks to get through. Are y'all okay with that? This isn't in the outline, but and Paul also said to the Corinthians, God is faithful by whom you were called. Past tense, were called. So there's many people, I'm just waiting for the calling of God. I don't know what it is. I'm just waiting for the calling of God to come. Smile break. You were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You were called into fellowship with him. You were called into relationship with him. You were called. Stop fighting your call. Your call is different than your purpose. It just says right there that he called us according to his own purpose. So if you've got a purpose that's outside of his purpose, you just need to let go of that. I like the song this morning. I just surrender it all. I yield it all to you, Lord. Amen. And just tell God, Lord, you called me according to your purpose, not according to someone else's purpose. You know, the enemy has a purpose for you. There's others that have a purpose for you. God will always show you what his purpose is for you, and it's never going to be living a life or doing something that's unholy. Because he called you with a holy calling into his purpose and grace. Amen? So that's the first thing. Say it again. Because of grace, I'm called into a holy calling. Not according to my works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. You know, many people who have arisen to the fullness of what God intended for their life, all of them, if they truly know God, will tell you, I don't deserve to be here. There's no way in my own strength and education and everything else that I would be where I am today. This has to be God's own purpose. And it is only by his grace that I'm here. The more God expands us, the more he does, the more he favors us, the more he elevates us, we need to always remember we wouldn't be where we're at going into the places we're going and doing what we're doing without his grace. I love what Bill Johnson says. It's one of those zingers. Grace empowers us to do what God commands. What did Jesus say? I live nourished and empowered by the Father's love. His love is his grace. He didn't have to love us. Half of us in here, I wouldn't blame him if he hated us. But he never will. Right? You're going to walk out of here today saying this. I am nourished. So you got to be nourished. You know that somebody can bring you food, but if you don't eat it, you're not going to be nourished. You got to pick it up and put it in your mouth. Somebody say, I'm putting this in my mouth. You know how you get things in your spirit? You see it, you look at it, you meditate on it, and then you put it in your mouth. It don't go from the head into the heart without you meditating. You know the word meditating means to chew, to regurgitate. Like a cow does, and they bring it back up. Some of you farmers in here, yeah, right? You got to keep bringing it back up. You got to keep recalling it. You got to keep saying it. Don't shut me down because you're like in that place where I already know this. Well, if you know it, show me demonstrations of power. I'm not coming to you with eloquent words. Paul said, I didn't come to you with eloquent words. I came to you in a demonstration of power. You know, when you have power, someone can try to tell you who you are according to the world system, and you will stand there and look them in the eye and say, you don't define me. I don't need to make unholy alliances to get where God's already going to take me. He is the owner of it all. He owns you. He owns your wealth. He owns your mouth. He owns your body. You wouldn't even have breath to diss me if he didn't give it to you. I don't need you to make me. I've already been made by a God who knows me and has destined my life. He's got wealth you know not of. He's got support you know not of. He's got things that you know not of. And he knows how to get me where I need to go. Amen? So say this, because of grace, I believe. See, if you were just fighting the Holy Ghost and you said that out loud, well, too bad. Because you just said you believe. Maybe you said it because you like me. I don't know. Maybe you don't like me right now. But what you decree is what happens in your life. Watch this. Acts 18:27. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, don't judge me because I don't have all of these words accurate. The brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through what? See, you can't even believe except for through grace. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is given to lead you. He leads you to Jesus. And then he's given to lead you and guide you into all grace, lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen? So you can only believe through grace. I love it. Say it again. Because of grace, I believe. It's the grace of God that gives you the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Satan is not going to give you anything to believe truth. He doesn't grace you. He robs you. He kills you. He destroys you. His whole goal is to get you to believe a lie. So grace gives you the power to believe truth. Because grace is Jesus and he's the truth. Of course he wants you to believe him. Say, I have the grace to believe truth and to be totally set free. Because whom the Son, because whom grace, because whom Jesus sets free is free indeed. Give him praise. Don't be telling me, I just can't believe it. I can't believe I'm loved. I can't believe I have these things. I can't believe I'm favored. I just can't believe it. Well, if that's your confession, then you won't. Because you're fighting grace. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through grace who strengthens me and empowers me. You have been given grace to believe what is unbelievable to your natural mind. See, some of you need to get out of your mind. Some of you need to live out of your mind, out of your mind. You need to start living in Christ's mind. See, he put his mind in you so you could think his thoughts on the earth, fulfill his mission on the earth. Amen. Oh. Simple. How are you going to lead anybody if you don't believe? How are you going to build anybody else's faith if you don't believe? See, when God starts to present big things to you, even big open doors, even, you know, elevation and favor. I'm not even talking about the little stuff. I'm just talking about where he's about to take you. You gotta believe. I have the grace to believe that I belong there. I have the grace to believe that God is going to stand me before kings and magistrates and administrators, and he's going to fill my mouth. I don't have to be afraid of how I'm going to answer people, because God said if I would believe, he would fill my mouth, and I would have answers that would confound the wise. God graces you to believe his word And when God tells you you're going to do something that is greater than your ability, greater than your background, greater than anything that you've ever experienced before, he will grace you to believe it. So stop saying I can't, because you can. The difference between you doing it and not doing it is you believing. So don't diss the grace who has been given to you to believe. What time is it? Oh, Lord. I only got two out. Y'all want one more? I think it's a good place to land, because we like to save people at the end. I like the way Mario does it. He saves them at the beginning. He doesn't save them, but, you know, we're supposed to be on the earth doing what Jesus did. He said, the works I do, you will do. Jesus saved people, so what are you supposed to be doing? Saving people. Jesus healed people, so what are you supposed to be doing? Healing people. Jesus delivered people, so what are you supposed to be doing? Jesus provided for people, so what are you supposed to be doing? Jesus cast out devils for people, so what are you supposed to be doing? And I like that he didn't just say, you're going to do it like me. He said, the things I do, you're going to do, but you're going to do them greater than me. Woo! Don't tell me you can't, because I just told you he gave you the grace to believe. He gave you the grace to do. I love it. Y'all going to go turn the world upside down this week. Your world, this area. Come on, turn it upside down. Some of you need to start with you. You need to flip what's been going on up in your head. And you need to declare just these few things I've taught you today. Because of grace, I'm loved. Because of grace, I believe. And because of grace, here we go. We're going to end on this today. Lord, Holy Ghost, thank you. I could stay here. I got 19 of them. And we're only on 3. You know what else I love? I've learned. I think the Holy Ghost wearies with us sometimes. We got to have a 4-hour service. We got to keep going until every sinner is slain and laying on the ground, wailing in, you know, remorse. Listen, God will make you sorrowful for your sin. He will make you repent of your sin. He will bring times of refreshing. But you don't need to wear your body out. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I've come to give you rest. See, the church has had it wrong for so long. I'd rather leave you hungry, starving for more, coming back next week saying, feed me, Pastor, feed me. Than to be cooperating with the devil and wearing out the saints at the end of the age. I believe the Holy Ghost can operate in 45 minutes and do more than some cold preacher who doesn't have the anointing in 4 hours. Say this, because of Jesus, I am saved. Say it again, because of Jesus, I am saved. Because of grace, I'm saved. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, we were dead in sin, dead. If you've never received Jesus, you may be walking right now, talking, running your life, paying your mortgage, fighting on a job, doing all these things. You may feel alive on Friday night when you're half drunk. You are not alive. You are dead, D-E-A-D, dead on arrival, dead in your trespasses and your sins. One decision makes you alive together with Christ. See, there's a lot of people out there that are walking dead. They're the dead walking. They need your testimony. And they don't need, well, you got to pray and you got to fast and you got to do all the disciplines. Grace will lead you to do the disciplines without wearing yourself out. You'll live a disciplined life. You'll be a good ambassador. You'll be a good witness. You'll be a good person for God to call into high places because you live a disciplined life. But if you're disciplining yourself to try to get close to God, to try to get loved by God, to try to get more grace from God, to get more power from God. Listen, disciplines don't give you any of that. The blood of Jesus, the finished work at the cross, his grace gives you that. Discipline makes you a strong soldier. That's all. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And it goes on to say, not by works, lest any man should boast. So don't be walking around, all you other religions, saying it's because you knocked on enough doors or you filled up your 144,000. That's sad to be in a religion where only 144,000 are going to be saved. When Jesus said, I came to save the whole world. Amen. The sins of the world, not just the sins of the Jehovah's Witnesses. God so loved the Jehovah's Witnesses that he gave his only begotten son, that if 144,000 do enough right and believe, they will be saved. And all the rest of you are going to hell in a handbasket. Do not ever join a church that puts a limit on the number of people that can be saved. Hallelujah. You can't pass out enough tracts. Tracts are good because they have information, some of them, that are very powerful. But you can't do well enough of all these things to get further into the good graces of God. There is no other further good graces than Jesus. He's the furthest good grace there is in heaven and earth. And you're already in him. You're in him. Say, I'm in him. Because of the blood of Jesus. It's what he did. It's not what I do. I'm going to do things because of what he did. But it's not because of what I do that I'm in his good graces. It's because of what Jesus did. And no one can take me out of his good graces. I will sing as long as there is breath in my body of the goodness of God. All my life, he has been faithful. All my life, he has been so, so good. And as long as I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I am saved by his grace. Hallelujah. Titus said, for the grace of God, watch this, that brings salvation. What brings salvation? Who is Jesus? The grace of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. If grace was a theology, does theology appear? No, grace is a person. Jesus is the grace of God that brings salvation, and he has appeared to all men. The grace of God, Jesus Christ, that brings salvation. Salvation from what? Hell. This is a cold cultural church right now. It says there is no hell. Hell is a figment of your imagination. It is a reality of pain. You don't even know what pain is. Earthly pain? Jesus talked about hell and money more than anything else. Not that money is evil, but it's because man's heart is always gravitating to something to be a lesser savior. And he never wanted man to serve a lesser savior. He said, you receive me. Salvation from what? From hell, from eternal death. Because the wages of sin is a principle. It's a true thing. When humanity fell, sin ruled. And you're under it. Tyranny, a death sentence. But the grace of God has appeared. That brings salvation, and he's appeared to you today. He's appeared to me. He's appeared through his word, through his living word, and he's appearing right now, and he's saying, who do you serve? Do you serve money? Do you serve Gavin Newsom? Do you serve Joe Biden? Do you serve Donald Trump? We honor them, and we pray for them, but they are lesser kings. You're either going to serve tyranny. Even the best man that could ever be in position fails in comparison to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No king on his best day could ever be more gracious than the grace of God that brings salvation and has appeared to all men. And his name is Jesus Christ. You get to decide who you serve. And he came to save you from your sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, which is the grace of God, which comes through Jesus, is eternal life. Give him praise. Why wouldn't anybody serve him? Well, if I serve him, I have to be like those lemon-sucking, sour, miserable people that call themselves Christians that never, ever have anything good. They live unblessed and impoverished and mad and angry. Well, I don't know who you've been listening to, but God came to deliver you from all of that. He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly and that you might live it until it overflows. I came to destroy poverty. I came to destroy sickness. I came to destroy oppression. I came to destroy the work of darkness and everything that the devil brings. Accept me and I will grace you in this life and forever. And he didn't say, you know, it's going to take 4 hours to get you there. Crowbar you off the seat. I'm going to take your money. I'm going to make you mad every time you give what's mine actually back to me. No, he said, I'm going to give you so much that you can't contain it. You're going to bankrupt banks. You're going to become the bank. You're going to lend and not borrow. You're going to be the head and not the tail. I'm going to elevate you. The whole world, when they look at how blessed you are, is going to say, they belong to Yahweh. They belong to Jesus. They belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, follow me. He says, believe in me. If whoever doesn't believe is already damned, but whoever believes can never be judged, never be condemned again for the rest of their life or eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Where do you stand with Jesus today? Do you stand with him? Or are you still on the fence? Listen, Satan owns the fence. Jesus doesn't give you the option of the fence. There is no fence straddling in this kingdom. You can't have 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in his kingdom. You got to ditch the fence. If you're on the other side and you've never even stepped over the fence, well, step over it, but don't stay there. It's time to receive Jesus. He says, come to me, and I will in no wise cast you out. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? Paul said, if you believe in your heart what was preached to you, that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and he is the Savior, the grace of God that brings salvation. If you believe, you will be saved. But there's something you got to do. He said, you can't just believe it in your heart. You need to confess it with your mouth. And you will be saved. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew. Doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're a male or a female. Doesn't matter where you came from. He said, none of that matters. The playing field is a level at the foot of the cross. Whoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus will be saved. He didn't say if you go into a church where all the seats are fancy and, you know, the lighting's good. And I love Mario. They got fog machines and skinny jeans. There's none of that here. I loved being out under the tent. There wasn't even mood music. I love music. I'm a musician. Some of you know that. I love music. I had no music when God saved me. I was 97 pounds of scabs and bones with sunken eyes, completely addicted to drugs, dealing for the cartel, death in my face day and night. I was weighing up dope when Jesus walked into my room and put his hand on my shoulder and said, say yes to me. That's all you need to do, daughter. Yes. But don't stop with yes. Call me Lord. Yes, Lord. Completely set free. One step. Never went to any rehab. Walked straight into a church, fell flat on my face, and every demon that possessed me was gone in 2 hours. Gone. a lifetime of legalism and teaching that make men grovel and beg for God's grace didn't do that for me. Jesus' grace did that for me where none of those Pharisees dared to trod, because he came when no one else would. He's not afraid of your crack house. He's not afraid of your needle. He's not afraid of your gang. He's not afraid of what creeps in the dark. He's not afraid of the prostitution house. He's not afraid of the pimps. He's not afraid of the traffickers. He's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid. And he's calling you to a holy calling. He's saying your name, because before time began, he already planned it. Do not deny him. Say, Jesus, I say yes, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I repent and I turn to you as my Savior. Fill me now with your holy fire, your Holy Spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that, give him a big old praise. Heaven is throwing a party for you. Listen to me, listen to me. Don't you dare just walk away with a decision. You need now to get connected to a good Bible-believing church. And if you don't know one and you're listening online or you're watching on media, we'd be happy to continue to provide messages and truth and be your online family. But I believe in the corporate gathering. I believe you need to find a church where you can be with other believers, not just someone isolated watching online church. I believe that has a time and a place in our lives, but it is not what God wants. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together with other believers. You are needed in the army of God, and sitting alone in your room does not make you a foot soldier. It makes you a target. Get plugged into a good Bible-believing church and let us know how we can pray for you. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. If you need prayer, our team will be here. God bless you all. I will see you in the house of prayer, some of you tomorrow night or on Wednesday night at 7.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends. Click the share button. Take a screenshot and also share in your social media stories and tag us at soulharvestwc. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.